Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
You're listening to the Best Damn NFL Pod, period, with Hall of Fame running back Eric Dickerson and USC legend, 16-year NFL vet Rodney Pete, presented by DraftKings.
You're listening to the Best Damn NFL Pod, period, presented by DraftKings. I'm Rodney Pete. He's the Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson. Please download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code BESTDAMN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. Now, ED, this is a special show, ED, because we have a very special guest host with us today. And that person is your friend and mine, Emmy-nominated radio and TV personality, LA woman extraordinaire, Alicia Del Valle. What's up, Alicia?
Thank you. Hey, guys. Hey, ED and RP. Is that how I'm going to call you guys today? It's so exciting to be here.
Hey, well, thanks for joining us. This is a good one because over the weekend, it was great, great for LA football in terms of National Football League. And I know you're a sports fan, LA sports fan. You grew up here. You support all of the LA teams. But The Ram game yesterday, the atmosphere at SoFi, ED was there. I saw it from TV. It felt like the NFL had definitely arrived in LA with a statement, with that game, the crowd, how it ended, the Rams winning. What'd you think of the atmosphere, the game of the Rams? Just beating the Bucks, but overall, just the LA excitement about NFL being back here.
Okay, first of all, you are absolutely correct about the hype, the excitement of SoFi. Now, I am a shameless homer. You guys know that. I am a born and raised Ram fan, and I don't deny it. And I'm third generation Ram fan. My daughter's a Ram fan. You got four generations of Ram fans. Eric Dickerson is beloved by my family. My dad still wears his jersey, a grown man. we were at the opener. I did not go to yesterday's game, but I did watch it like you, Rodney. Uh-huh. And you could just feel the excitement through the television. Yeah. I got to give props to the Rams fans for showing up. Definitely way more Rams fans than that other team. That's right. The Rams beat the defending Super Bowl champion. Yeah. It was so great to see that atmosphere. And how about, you guys know this because you breathe LA. You're here. You live here. But didn't it feel a little bit like Showtime? Like a Laker game? I mean, the Lakers were there. Five players were at the game yesterday. It was like that, right? A lot of celebrities, a lot of bling. It was just so much love for the Rams. And I don't want to hear anybody talk about LA is not a sports town. No. Get out of here with that, right?
I agree with you, Lisa. One thing I said, you know, you saw Dr. Dre there. I mean, think about Dr. Dre and all his beats and his beat headsets, and you got LeBron James, possibly one of the, if not the greatest, one of the greatest basketball players that ever played for the Lakers. You had YG, you had a lot of celebrities there. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's right up the street, right across the street from the Forum. Think about, you pass right by the Forum coming in. So you think about, you know, all the Showtime Lakers and all, remember all the celebrities used to be at the basketball games. That's so, I got to say, it felt like a home game for sure. Like a home game should feel, you know, and I like that. I mean, because, you know, I say it, you know, and we know LA still mostly a Raider town. I say that because the Rams left for so long and came back. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, LA fans, you know, I think they're going to really gravitate toward this football team.
I think it's hungry. They've been hungry, and now that the Rams are good, and we'll get into the Chargers too, but the Rams are good, and they were here first, and they were here before. So they have a bit of an edge on the Chargers, obviously. But the fact that both teams are good here in LA makes a difference too, because we also know fans can be great in LA, but you gotta win.
Yes.
You gotta win in LA. You gotta win. There's too many things to do.
Hey, it's too much to do.
I'm going to the beach today. I'm not going to see them dirty dirty Rams, them dirty Chargers. I'm going to the beach.
Yeah.
So you got to win. Is that, which means there's a lot of pressure on these teams to win. But to do it like they did at SoFi, like you said, it was showtime. It was the old school forum where you see, you know, Diane Cannon and Jack Nicholson on the court. It was every box had somebody in it. And it was incredible sight. And the world saw it. It was on the national stage. So the world saw how LA can get behind his team.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely a huge game, right? I mean, Tom Brady, the GOAT. I don't hate Tom Brady, but I don't love Tom Brady. But for him to come to SoFi, it was a huge game. I felt like it was bigger than the opener, even though I really wanted to be at the opener. And I don't know, you know, even the cast of Ted Lasso was there. Shout out Ted Lasso. A bunch of actresses like Kate Hudson was there. When have you ever seen Kate Hudson at any sporting event? I mean, that's how important it was.
When she was dating Alex Rodriguez, she used to go.
Oh, yeah. There's that.
Don't forget that.
That's right. I can't keep up. I don't know. Write it down. Who's A-Rod dating this week? Yeah. But yeah, it was really exciting. And like you said, to see the fans show up. But I'm a big tailgater. And again, I go back to that East Coast bias. I've got a chip on my shoulder. I do not deny it. You go to these tailgates, the peak zone. Well, first of all, I know you can't go, Ronnie and Aaron, because you would be mobbed. You wouldn't even get into the game. But it is so amazing that every detail has some blue and yellow, has the Rams colors. We're talking from the tiniest women and their nails and their high heels to lowriders. I mean, we are a car culture. We've got everything that you can imagine. Barbecues, cornhole. The tailgating at the Rams games is official. It was like that at the Coliseum, and now with SoFi, it's been elevated. So I got to give some love to these Rams fans.
I got to ask you, Alicia, being the LA woman that you are and the Latina that you are, did you see Jalen Ramsey arrive at the game?
Yes, yes, in his mariachi outfit. Yeah. I love
did
that.
He?
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Oh, cool.
It was Ram colors, too. It was Ram colors. Yeah.
The Rams have their own mariachi band. So they're at every game. And yesterday was super special. And it was an ode because we are in the middle of Hispanic Heritage Month. Shout out to our Latinos, Latinx, Chicanos. We don't want to get anyone mad. But the Rams are definitely aware of Southern California and, you know, the love that we have for the Rams, you know. So shout out to Jalen Ramsey and his ED. I'm going to send you the video. It's so dope. I posted it yesterday. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Alicia. So when I look at football now, especially when I play, you know, it wasn't a lot of women, you know, like it was women coming to the game. Mostly it was wives and girlfriends and a few girls like, I don't really watch football. But now, I mean, football is really, really watched by maybe more women watch it than men. I know the women go out and buy the gear more than men because I can, you know, that's what they tailor toward more women. But what do you think really changed to make it happen for like the women really want to watch football?
Well, I don't have statistics on it, but I know I didn't grow up with my mother, my mama. She wasn't a huge football fan. She was a football widow. And then I felt like once she paid attention and saw how exciting football can be, you know, that was it. She was hooked. And now she's yelling at the TV, throwing things at the TV. I think all we had to do was just give it a chance because it is entertainment, you know, and we do, or I do. I love thinking about strategy and the schematics and the drama, you know, this, you know, look at the drama with the Rams, Stafford coming, Goff leaving. Oh, poor Goff. Yeah, but so, you know, I just think women and the NFL, you know, they've done a good job advertising to us lately, you know, and talking about things we care about, like breast cancer awareness, like, well, we won't get into all of that they're talking about, but the gear. We'll go back to that to keep it safe and politically correct. The gear is now tailored to us and we've got some choices. And I got to say one thing about the Cowboy fans. Okay, so the women, that was probably the only time. You know, I'm about love, Eric and Rodney. I don't hate on teams. I don't even post negative things about teams. But the only time I possibly was going to get in a physical altercation was with female Cowboys fans. That is how diehard they are.
They are. You're right.
Yeah. There's nothing like that.
Well, the crazy part is that when you get the Cowboys playing the Raiders, then it's a real tug of war, because as you know, there, you know, we live in Southern California, but there are a lot of people of color that love the Cowboys and a lot of people of color that love the Raiders. And that tug of war back and forth. So when those two get together, it's families that go at it. I can remember families going at it hard. I mean, like, to the point where they're getting at it, physically.
Fist fighting.
Yeah, because one's a Raider fan and this one's a Cowboy fan. But diehard, definitely. So what do you think? What do you think, Alicia? What do you think that means for who? I guess going into some of the other stuff, and we got to bring the Chargers into this because they're a good football team too. They play in the same stadium. Eric likes to call them the little team to the south.
No, not just that. ED still calls them the San Diego Chargers.
I know. I can't stop.
He does. It's going to take some getting used to, you know.
But the battle for them. We talk about LA, you got to win. The battle for the Chargers is they definitely got to win. They got to be a good team because they play in a division where they got fan bases that will come to LA and take over stadiums. I was at the Dallas Charger game. It was maybe 60-40 Dallas fans in the stadium. Charger fans did show up. I will give them credit. They did show up, and they were trying to be loud and go toe-to-toe with all those Cowboy fans. But the Chargers trying to get a foothold on here. There's just a difference of energy with the Rams and the Chargers and SoFi, to me, is night and day.
Yeah, absolutely. And you said it, Ronnie, the only way they can advertise, they can put billboards up, but you just got to win. And eventually, because there are so many people here, and I call football the religion of this country, right? Once you keep winning, which with Herbert, I mean, they look good. They're going to get the fans. It's just not right now. And, you know, the next game that's coming up for the Chargers, I'm scared of what that stadium's going to look like. I'm not going to say it.
The Raiders.
Yeah, I
agree with you with that, Alicia. I mean, you know, it's all about winning here in Los Angeles. And Rodney, you know as well as I do. If you don't win, you know, it's too many other things to do. The first thing people say, man, I'm not going to watch the most sorry ass Chargers. I'm not going to watch the most sorry Rams. You know, they're not winning. But except for the Dodgers, now that's different. They're going to watch the Dodgers. But really, winning cures it all. But I still think that they're going to have the Chargers going to have a hard time getting a foothold here in Los Angeles because, you know, even the Rams coming back. You know, this is what their fifth year is. I think their fifth season.
16. I mean, was it 16 they came here? 16 or 17?
16. I think it was 16.
Yeah, McVay took over in 17. That's right. Yeah.
So this is the fifth year. I mean, and it took them a minute. I mean, we had built in fans, you know, because a lot of fans when LA left and went to St. Louis. You know, a lot of fans dropped off and went to different teams. You know, some went to the Chargers, some went to the 49ers. I don't know how you do that. And some went to the Raiders. You know, I can do the 49er thing. But some went to the Raiders. And you know, one thing I do know,
You still got that bad taste for them Niners?
Man, come on, dog. I can't stand them Niners. I mean, I was thinking that's what I hate the most, the Niners or the Cowboys. I think I hate the Niners more because I know how dirty they were. Man, they were dirty. God. Stuff they would do, and their fans throw stuff at us, spit on us, and all kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm not down with them. But I think about the Latino fan base is very, very loyal. I love that. I don't care if it's a Raider fan. If you're a Raider fan, you're not gonna change the Latino Raider fan to a Ram fan. Same thing with the Ram fan. You're not going to change a Ram fan to a Raider fan. The Dodger fan. You're not going to change a Dodger fan to a San Francisco Giants fan. It ain't happening.
No.
That's the thing I really love about the Latino fan base. They are just so loyal. Now, I love that. I'm big on loyalty.
Yeah. Aw, thank you. Shout out. And again, especially during Hispanic Heritage Month. Honestly, though, you guys, it's just like that with even products. There are things that my Nana has been using for years. We are just loyal like that. If you get us when we're young, then you got us for life. And if there are parents out there who want to take their kids to a Charger game, those kids will probably stay Charger fans. But I mean, right now, they've got a long way to go, just like Eric said. But let me ask both of you gentlemen, with both the Chargers winning and the Rams winning, who do you think is believable? Is it too early to get excited about the Rams and the Chargers? Like, who looks real right now after week three?
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, honestly, both teams. I mean, I got to say that the Chargers, they should have beat the Cowboys in the opener. They really should have. They blew that game, mistakes, turnovers too, penalties, had two touchdowns called back. They should have won that game. We would not beat Chicago very convincingly. But I feel like both teams are really, really good. And I've always said that, Rodney, you know it. Yeah. I said that, it's the little team across town, but I said that's a good football team. And Justin Herbert is taking that team to the next level. I mean, because he's an exciting player to watch. I mean, they got Mike Williams. They've got a lot of talent on that football team. Defense is talented also. And then we got the Rams. We got a new quarterback in town. We got Matt Stafford. We got Cooper Kupp. We got Vance Johnson. We got what's Jackson's last name?
Deshaun Jackson.
I mean, we've got a lot of weapons. So right now, both teams are really, really good. I mean, but if I had to say they played each other, I think the Rams come out on top. I really do believe the Rams come out on top in that football game. And I think one reason is because I think that McVay has been there, done that, and this is what's his name, the head coach of the Chargers. I can't think of his name. He just took the job.
Yeah.
Staley.
Staley.
Yeah. He's a first-year head coach. And I believe we'd win that, but we don't play each other, so we don't really care. Like I said today on radio, I said I'd like to see – wouldn't it be great to see a L.A. Super Bowl? Think about that, Elise. The Chargers. Man, how great would that be? I mean, I'd be happy for the Chargers fan, but, man, think about that. Two L.A. teams playing the Super Bowl.
And when is the last – when is the last time – because the Jets and the Giants have never been good together, so that could never happen. The only place that could ever happen is here, and both teams, I mean, legitimately, could actually make it there.
Yeah.
But when you talk about who's legitimate now, I think it's still early in week three to figure out. Remember, and I think we talked about this before, Eric, is that when we talk about Tampa Bay, who lost that game, they were struggling last year until they got it rolling at the end of the year. They got it rolling and they got hot and they were the best team in football the last 6-7 games of the season. So it is great to get off to a good start, but can you maintain that?
That's it.
And about week 8 through 10, you start to see, okay, there's going to be some teams start to separate from the pack. And then you're going to say, okay, this team has been consistent all season long. They legitimate. But if you had to stop it right now, yeah, I think the Rams are the best team in the NFC. The Chargers, I don't know if they're the best team in the AFC, but I know they can go toe-to-toe to any team in the AFC.
Yeah, I'm starting to believe. And Herbert, again, it's only his second year, and they trust him, right? They trust him to lead this team. So I don't hate the Chargers. How can I call myself LA woman and not give love to LA teams?
There you go.
But I'm excited about the Rams. I didn't say it, but social media yesterday was going off on Super Bowl and who your predictions.
Too early,
I mean, look at
too early.
That's the sports page is like, yeah. Rams on the cover.
Wow, too early. Wow, I didn't see it. Really? What did you say? Hold it up. Let me read it.
It says it's not too early to get excited. I mean, everybody. We're buying in. And I'm just so happy for Stafford. I'm so happy for McVay. Did you guys, what do you think about all the hate that McVay was getting for running up and down the side of the field and screaming. I mean, we've seen him do that before. Why are people hating now?
I talked about that this morning on Skip and Shannon, and Skip was hating on Nick Bay for that. And I told him, too bad McCarthy can't run up down the sideline. He's too, you know, he got too much weight. I said, don't be a hater. You know, McVay's a young coach. He's only 35 years old. I mean, he's excited. I mean, and you know, he's got. If you ever met him, I mean, you know how hyped he is, Rodney. He got that hype personality.
Always,
the hype.
Always.
You know, so when I think he's excited about having his new quarterback. I mean, if I'm a coach, like, and you know, Rodney, just as well as I do. You know, when you play on them bad football teams, and man, when you and you get on a good team, or you go from a good team to a bad team, you're like, wow. Man, wow, I wish I had that. And I guarantee you, Stafford has been saying that for 13 years. And McVay has been saying it pretty much since he took over. He said, if I just had that at quarterback. Remember I told you when we played the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. I said, the only way we're going to beat Green Bay. I said, you know, in the Sandlot football, when the quarterback can play on both teams,
yeah,
I said, the only way we're going to beat Green Bay is Aaron Rodgers going to quarterback to both teams, and we had the best defense. Other than that, we couldn't beat them.
Yeah, that's the difference. But, yeah, no, I think it's good. And think about where he learned from. He learned from John Gruden, and he is exactly the way Gruden was when Gruden was in his 30s. Gruden started as a head coach in his 30s. So did McVay, a little bit younger. But think about it. He's only 2 years older than Matthew Stafford, and he's younger than Andrew Whitworth.
Wow.
He's younger than Whitworth, and they're like best friends. So they hang out all the time. So he is, you know, essentially almost one of them. And when he has that energy and is genuine, I can tell you that locker room, those players feed off of that when he does all that stuff. So everybody, you know, around the country can hate and do whatever and think it's, you know, an act or anything like, but it's not an act. He is genuinely excited when his guys do well.
And it seems to be working, right? I mean, why would he stop? I'm like, you do you, McVay, you do you. He reminds me, Rodney, of Pete Carroll. You know, Pete Carroll was like that at the Trojan game. Yeah,
you got it, right.
Yeah, always energetic, drank too much coffee. You knew he had about 25 cups of coffee before 6 a.m. And then drinking Cokes all day long, you know, that energy level just goes all day long. But again, I don't ever want to fault or get angry or upset or jealous or whatever at somebody that gets excited for something good happening. Come on,
really? I mean, that, imagine he's on the sidelines. They score a touchdown. He go, oh,
yeah.
You know,
like Belichick, you want to be like,
damn, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with McVay? You know, they just scored a touchdown. He's standing up like, is he like he's smoking weed or something? So, I mean, you know, you got all kind of haters. You know, he's too happy. You know, he's not happy enough. You know, he looks mad. Or, you know, I mean, it's always going to be those people out there that don't like you, especially, you know, they're going to hate on the Rams.
Yeah, when I started in this industry, one of the first things a beautiful co-anchor told me, she said, if you got haters, you're doing something right. So props to McVay and to the Rams. Keep it going. Now, Rams, they are one of the only teams left after we three. They're 3-0. What about the teams that haven't won a game yet? I'm a little – should we be concerned about those teams? Yeah. Who do you want to start with? Detroit, the Jets? I feel so bad.
Let's start with Detroit, since that's Rodney's team.
His own team. Poor Detroit, boy. They always end up in the wrong category, boy. Damn Detroit. And actually, Detroit, they played like probably 8 quarters of good football. It's just the rest of the quarters has cost them to lose, be 0-3. But, man, Detroit, think about Detroit. You know, they played well. Jared Goff played well against Green Bay up there. They just couldn't play in the second half. They lose on a record-breaking 66-yard field goal by the Baltimore Ravens and Justin Tucker. They lose at home on a record-breaking – that's just the life of Detroit. That's just – when you look up, hey, when you looked up and somebody read the paper, I don't care, they could have been in Indonesia, you know, and looked at the paper and said, Baltimore Ravens, win on a last second NFL record 66-yard kick. And you don't have to even look about, oh, who they play? Who did they play? Oh, they must have played the Lions. They must have played the Lions. It's just the luck does not bounce the Lions' way. And it was just evident of that. But yeah, between them, I think Detroit, of those 0-3 teams, because Jacksonville's a mess. So yeah. I don't think they're going anywhere. Trevor Lawrence is going to take his lumps all season long. It's been a bad organization for a little while, and they don't have a whole lot of talent on that team. Same with the Jets. The Jets are going nowhere. They looked ugly against Denver last week. And they got a young quarterback that they're throwing to the fire. I just hope they don't get him
gunshot.
He's playing early and he's taking a lot of lumps. He's getting hit and they're not being very successful at all. But of all those teams that are 0-3, I think the Rams have a best chance of winning the most games out of those three.
The Rams.
The Rams.
I mean, the Alliance.
Between Jacksonville
and the Jets and the Lions, I think the Lions have the best chance of being.
Agree with you with that, Rodney. I feel that Jacksonville is, they're not going anywhere. The young quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, he's going to take his lump. The new head coach.
Yeah.
What's the new head coach name?
Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer. And I like Urban. I like Urban, but, you know, sometimes, you know, pro and college, it just doesn't mix. I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, maybe, you know, he retired and stayed in college because, you know, you coaching these pro players, they're not putting up with that. Like, hey, man, just say, man, get me out of here. You can't say that in college, you know, get me out of here.
Yeah.
Or they just say, I'm out of here. But pros is different.
You can't talk to them any kind of way either. You can't talk to them.
No, that's it. That's what I'm saying. You can't talk.
I got kids. You
find yourself on your back. getting your ass whipped is what you're
saying. Hey, that was the first time. You talk about getting a wake-up call. And we talked earlier on another show about things we had in the locker room when we came in the league. But that was the first time I saw player and coaches go at it in a meeting room, like fighting on a regular basis.
Oh, fight. Yeah.
Fighting on a regular basis. I never saw that in high school or college. It was always, you know, you respected the college coach, you respected the high school coach. But you got up there and you got guys, like I said, even like with McVay, that are the same age. So you can't have a coach treating a guy in his 30s like he's a 19-year-old kid. And some of these coaches come from college. They don't understand that right away, and it gets them in trouble.
Well, I don't care if they could be in their 60s, and you're talking to a guy, kid, and he's 25 years old or 20. See, like, I'm a man. You know, you're talking to me like I'm a man. Yeah. I'm not a kid. That's the problem. But I look at that.
Rodney said, I got kids.
What you talking about? Hey, you ain't going to just talk to me any kind of way.
Don't talk to me that's any kind of way. I think you're right there, Ryan. I think I look at the Jets. The Jets is a mess, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just a mess. I mean, I hate to say they almost like Detroit, but I think they're worse. I really think they're worse than Detroit.
Amplified because they're in New York.
Yeah, they just the Jets. I mean, they have you ever seen some of the Jets fans? Have you ever been to the Jets game? When I did Monday Night Football, I'll never forget it. I'm on the sideline. This is before the game started. Some of the Dolphins players were coming out, and they were talking about the players, and they started talking about their wives by names. So I go over, I said, hey, man. I said, how do you know these guys' wives? Why are you talking about? Oh, man, we just love the Jets. You know, we just Jets. We love you, Eric. I said, y'all just do the same thing to me.
It was talking about you.
Oh, my gosh. I had an incident with a Jet fan one time. I mean, it was crazy. But you know, the Jets, I said, they're not going anywhere. But the team that I feel for, because our old quarterback, Jared Goff, is there. I like to see him do well. I really do want to see Jared do well. I want to see my friend Anthony Lynn. I want to see him do well there.
Right.
They're trying to change the culture, you know, and that's what you have. You have to start with the culture. You know, I forget the owner's name, the lady that's taking over the organization. You know, she was a former
soccer tennis player. But it's the daughter. The daughter, right.
And she was a former athlete. So she wants to win. I mean, you hear about she's an athlete. You know, if you're an athlete, you know what it's like. I want to win. I know what it's like to stay on that podium to win. So she wants to win. But right now, you know, they did, like you said, a 60-yard field goal, man. Like you snake bit.
Like, must have been playing
Detroit. It's so heartbreaking.
Yep.
I feel like both of you agree that out of the three, 0-3 teams, the Lions have the best chance to get it together, win some games. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think the Lions went up about seven games this year.
Okay. Respect. And we don't hate Goff. We appreciate Goff. I never come from that place. But speaking of culture, let's take that team, the Jets, and look at Sam Darnold leaving that culture. And right look there. At him now. He's on one of the teams that are undefeated. He's one of the five teams that are 3-0. So that's proof in the pudding right there that it matters where you're playing. The culture, it starts at the top. So let's talk about Sam Darnold. I think if we were voting, some of the big winners over the weekend of week three, I'd love to give props to my former quarterback. Again, I'm a Trojan, fight on. And I'm so happy for him. And he was getting a lot of love this weekend. And what a difference from being in New York with those fans and that media to, you know, his team now, and he's winning. And he got some love for that T-shirt he was wearing too that he designed. So love you. Fight on, Sam Darnold. What do you guys think? Who else were big winners this weekend?
Well, they were. They were a big winner. I think you're right. Going and I've been there. I was in Detroit for 5 years and then got a chance to go and just get out of there and go for 1 year to kind of clear my head. I went to.
Thank God you still got your head.
Yeah, exactly. I went to Dallas. I went because when you get to the NFL, you think, oh, it's the NFL. It's all the same. Everybody does the thing. It's the NFL. It's the way everybody does it. Until you go to a different team that does it right.
That's right.
And then I went to Dallas, and it was like, oh, okay. And this is not early 90s Dallas. So that's, you know, it's in the heyday. Okay, this is how you win. This is how top to bottom is supposed to be. And I think for Sam Darnold, getting out of the New York market and getting to a team where it is about him, they're going to surround him with the talent. They're going to give him all the tools to win. Now he can just flourish and play football, not worry about all the other stuff and getting hit on every single play. It's that I got an offensive-minded coach. He's going to play to my strengths, and he's going to just let me go play football. So I think that's important for him. Overall, the winner is still going to go back to the Rams and Matthew Stafford over the weekend because not to take away from the win, it was a bigger game for the Rams than it was for the Bucs, for Tampa Bay. It was a bigger game for the Rams. Rams made a statement at their home place beating the Super Bowl champs. It was the biggest statement game of the weekend. The Rams doing that and Stafford, not only the Rams winning, but Stafford playing the way he did in the win was by far to me the biggest win of the weekend.
I agree. 343 yards, four touchdowns. Big. Could have had 500 yards if he'd have hit Deshaun Jackson on the bum. Yeah. I think Deshaun surprised him how fast he is. I think he knew, but he's probably, like, wow. Yeah. he's really fast. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I agree. And I got to say, you know, Justin Herbert over in San Diego, man. I mean, you got to give it to him.
Where is he? Where is he, D? Where is he at?
I'm sorry. You got it. LA.
It's going to take another 10
years. It's going to take a minute. I mean, I'm going to tell you, right? I remember when the Arizona Cardinals moved from St. Louis. I couldn't stop calling the St. Louis Cardinals.
I know.
St. Louis Cardinals. You too young for that, Lisa. Like St. Louis.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, and I think one guy that kind of cooled off a bit. I think when they got cool on him is Mahomes. I mean, I think you know they expect so much out of him. And don't get me wrong, he's still playing great. But you know, when you lose, I don't care if you put up 500 yards, you put up 600 yards. When you lose, it's still that loss stares you in the face. And one guy, another quarterback that is, to me, he doesn't have all his weapons yet, and that's Lamar Jackson. And they're finding a way to win, and he's doing a lot of it. So you have to give him credit. I mean, but I got to say the quarterbacks over this weekend played great. I mean, last night you saw Aaron Rodgers. I mean, golly.
Think about that. I mean, he got
37 seconds, no timeouts.
Man, I'm like, I said, I know he can do it. I didn't die. We threw that first perfect pass. I mean, perfect. I'm like, oh, I see it's over. I see, I know you're gonna get field goal range.
Yeah. People talk about, you know, from a quarterback perspective, that is arm talent. That's arm talent. It's not how hard you throw. It's not how, you know, he can throw it 80. No, it's making that throw when there's a defender in front and one behind and you fit it in like that at that moment. That's why they've always said he's got the best arm talent in the game. Because he can make that throw. That's another one. I would put that second because all the heat he took, you knew he took all that heat at week one after that loss.
That loss, yeah.
And then coming back and doing that on national TV.
I honestly, though, when Aaron Rodgers got that ball, it was just too much time left. It's Aaron Rodgers doing Aaron Rodgers things. And you could see the memes that were coming out from the fans that were at that game. And they looked like they were not panicking. And that's what Aaron Rodgers does because he's so good at what he does. That arm is, you know, insured for a reason. I mean, he's just doing his thing. That's what people were afraid of with Tom Brady coming to SoFi, right? Even though the Rams played and they beat them decisively, definitively, the Bucs were always playing from behind.
He's still Brady, and you've seen him do it before. That's the thing. You've seen him do it before to good teams where, we got this one. It's only 5 minutes left to go in the game, and all of a sudden they score 3 touchdowns like that, and you're like, oh, how do you do that? So we've seen it before. So, but the defense, Ram defense was not going to let that happen.
That defense wasn't going to let that happen yesterday. And I told you this. I said to certain teams have your number. And the Rams have always had the Bucs number pretty much. I mean, ever since they came to the league in 1977, go back, I think they played 27 times and the Rams have beaten them 18 times. I mean, when I played, we never lost to them. We never lost to the Bucs ever. I mean, pretty much, I think the closest game they had with us, I was the Rams, we went into overtime and I had a 42-yard touchdown to beat them in overtime. We get the ball first. So, I mean, I wasn't shocked. I mean, but because I kept telling my buddies, I said, we have their number. We beat them up in Tampa last year. I know they have Tom Brady. He had Tom Brady then. I say so. I wasn't shocked. I was glad that they beat him like that. And Tom Brady said on television before the game that he's never played in L.A. So, good. It's his first ass woman in L.A. You know, never played the Rams in L.A. So, it's his first ass woman in L.A. playing against the Rams.
That's right. And Aaron Donald caught up to Tom Brady. It was his first sack at home in L.A. for a reason. So, come back anytime, Tom Brady. Come back anytime. We got you. It was fun. So we've got our winners and our losers from the weekend. But what was the biggest disappointment before we go on to week 4? What was something that you were just surprised or ugly?
I said surprised. I get surprised, I think. I was surprised that the Vikings beat the Seahawks. I was glad, just not with division, but I mean, they beat them pretty good. They beat them like 30-17. Yeah, they beat them pretty good. That was a surprise, and I was happy it happened too. And I think Washington Bills, that wasn't no shock. I mean, the Bills, I mean, you know, they're playing the Redskins. Redskins have no offense, and that defense they're talking about, I don't even say, where's the defense at?
You just like the San Diego Chargers. You can't get used to saying them. Washington Football Club.
That's right. I know them as the Redskins. You know, I'm sorry. The Washington Football. The Washington Football Team. I don't want to offend.
You got that Hall of Fame pass. It's okay. Yeah. I mean, you actually played.
At least I'm old. That's a team I play. I played against the Redskins. You know, the Washington Football Team. So there's the Washington Football Team. But yeah, where's that defense that they're supposed to have? They're so great.
Right. It's not the same. Like they hyped them up all season long, and it's not there. I guess the surprise to me is it's really more about, and not taking away from the Chargers, but this has been going on all season, is how bad Kansas City defense is.
Oh, yeah, they've been good all season.
Yeah, they've been bad all season long, and it continued. And, you know, it's one thing when you know you're going to get, you know, 8, 9, 10 possessions as a quarterback.
and then that gets cut down to 6-7 possessions, it's a little bit different. And so I think that's having an effect on Mahomes too, because they're not always playing from a lead, number one, and they're not getting as many opportunities as they used to because the defense is giving up drives and time possession and all those things. So they don't get that cleared up, then I don't think that they're going to have any chance of repeating going back to the Super Bowl.
Nah, that defense has given up a chunk of yards. I think every week, I think it's averaging like over 400 yards a game.
Yep.
And, that's too much pressure to put on Mahomes. You know, he's a seasoned quarterback. He's still a young quarterback, you know. But even though he says he's a veteran, he's a young quarterback. You don't want to put that kind of pressure on your quarterback to have to throw that many times. And pretty much now he's starting to look for the same receivers all the time, Tariq Hill. You know, he wants to go deep because he has to go deep. You know, and Travis Kelce. I mean, you know, those are his targets. But if I'm a defensive coordinator after a while, I'm like, okay, well, we know what to do here. You know, mm-hmm. You just got to try to double. You know, and it's because they're not running the ball like
not running the ball City, either.
Yeah, they're not running the football. And I think Kansas City, I think of them running the football. I mean, and they're really not.
They had it going. They had both. You know, Ed, we always talk about you got to be balanced. You got to be able to run it and throw it, mm-hmm. take that pressure off, and. They're not able to run it like they have been in the last 2 years when they've gone to the Super Bowl. It's been they've had it kind of by committee, but they've been able to run the football. And they're not able to do that now.
Yeah, and I know Andy Reid likes to run the football, but right now, ain't happening.
Well, then why don't we just move on to what I've been wanting to ask you before I go? The Cardinals are coming to SoFi. And there are some people this morning, a quarterback on these couches saying, oh, Kyler Murray is the real thing and they should worry. After we just beat the GOAT, do you guys think that the Rams should be worried, or is this going to be – what are your predictions? Because they're both undefeated.
Let me go first on this one. I talked to my boy Roy Green. Roy played for the St. Louis Cardinals and he played for the Arizona Cardinals too. They came to Arizona. Every year since the Rams got back here, up in LA, I said, we're gonna beat y'all's ass. I said, come on, we're gonna beat y'all. I told him twice last year. Oh no, we ready. I said, Roy, no, let's go back when we went to London. What's the quarterback? No, the first year before we went to London. Carson Palmer. I said, Roy, I hate to tell you, but if Carson Palmer don't get down, Aaron Donald, they're gonna break his arm. And what happened? He ended up breaking his arm, breaking his shoulder, breaking, I think he broke his arm. I said, Roy, y'all can't beat us. I said, y'all not physical enough. So okay, they 3-0 now. He called me last night. Oh, we're gonna beat y'all's ass. I said, Roy, he gonna beat the hell out of y'all. I said, that little midget quarterback. I see all that running around he gonna do. I said, we're gonna beat y'all's ass. I'm gonna say it again. We gonna beat their ass. Look, Kyler Murray's a good quarterback. I gotta give it to him. But I'm not big on short quarterback. I'm just not. Them little like scat backs, that's what he reminds me of. He got a great arm. I'm sorry. I'm gonna say it on air.
Alicia, Edie's got a history and a phobia about short quarterbacks.
I got something about short. You know my thing. I had a short quarterback. He gave me nightmares. He couldn't throw the lineman.
Oh no.
They are playing well, but they're not in the, there's like tiers, right? They're playing well. But they're not on the Rams level right now terms of their plan.
Everybody relax. Let's just, you know, take a deep breath and relax.
The Raiders being 3-0. They should be 1-2. Really.
They're good, but yeah, they're gonna come down to earth pretty soon.
Really?
Oh,
It might be this weekend when they face the Chargers.
I think the Chargers gonna beat them.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I think Charles is going to beat him. I got a bet on that too. Straight up.
Straight up.
Straight up.
Yep. He's not playing.
Alicia.
Uh-huh.
You've been asking us all these thoughts. What are your thoughts now early on in the NFL season? To me, it feels, I don't know. Ed, I ask you this too. It feels like there's more excitement about this year's football season than there's been in a long time. And the play is good as well. Is it just me, or does it feel like there's just people are excited to go to games, to watch them, to be a part of it? I don't know if it's the gambling's even bigger now. Shout out to DraftKings. But I don't know, but I just get the feeling like the excitement around the NFL right now is as high as it's ever been.
I agree on that because, you know, we had football last year, but no fans. And so I think the fans, you know, the fans are back. And like you saw the stadium Sunday, I mean, it was packed, you know, look around the league. So Kansas City, it was packed. I mean, tonight's game in Dallas is going to be packed. I mean, so it's a real excitement about football. And I got to say, it's been some great football games. I mean, Yeah, that game last night with Green Bay and San Francisco.
Oh, great.
I mean, that was a great game. I mean, seriously, it was going back and forth. With the
Raider Miami game was it?
I said the Raider Miami game. They came from they were the 14 down 14 points. I went into overtime. So, and you see a lot of this early. Usually you see this like week 6, 7, 8, you know, that middle like that, because they start playing really good football because, you know, they kind of get heated up. But right now, I mean, football is the number one sport. You can take baseball, football is the number one sport, but
it's
really good football.
Yeah, it's not even
close. And you know, I'm a diehard Dodger fan, but even I know that football, like I said earlier, is the religion of this country. It shuts things down. And especially with even more and more women involved in watching the games, traveling to the games. So I will agree with everything that Eric said, everything that Rodney, what you said. We will never take it for granted again, will we? I mean, 2020 was an awful year for so many people. And I mean, we are spoiled in LA. We've got a lot to do. You all talked about that earlier. So you have to win in this town, but you also have to entertain. And I'm so grateful that there has been some really good football, some really good strategies, some really good storylines. We talked about the kicker that made his 66-yard field goal, breaking records, breaking Goff's heart. But back to the Miami Raider game, that was a 68-yard field goal attempt that was ran back. I mean, we were laughing.
Jacksonville.
I'm sorry, Jacksonville. Yeah.
Right back.
I'm like, what is happening? I was, you know, it was funny. Again, though, all these little storylines, they all matter. And seeing everybody in the stands and seeing everybody in our outdoor restaurants here enjoying the games together, it's just, I will never take it for granted. I'm so happy that we are loving and enjoying some good football, right? And it helps that our Rams are looking so good.
I'm going to ask both of you this question, you two, you Rodney and you Lisa. How important is it? Think about when we had no football in LA, no football team here. How important is it now, when you look at it, is to have a football team, a football team here in LA? We'd like to have two, but how important is it now to have those teams here when you look at it?
Rodney?
Well, I think it's outside of just having an NFL team and being able to say your city has an NFL team and walk around with pride. I think that's so important. But also behind the scenes of that, just the amount of jobs and work that it provides for everyone that surrounds that NFL franchise. And it's not just a franchise, it's the stadium, all the people that work at the stadium and do that on a regular basis. So it's providing so much of an economic benefit for the city that it's so important. And I think that is why for so long, everyone and their brother in LA, every billionaire tried to bring a team back to LA, and LA got to get it back to LA. And the league knew that. The league knew that they had to get it back to LA. And they absolutely hit it out of the park with the guy that they picked to be in LA, which is Stan Kroenke, because you can't do it. You said it. You got to win. You can't do it half-ass.
Nope.
You got to spend money.
Right.
And it's got to be, if you're going to do it, come back to LA, it's got to be the best in the country. And they did that with the stadium. They got the guy with the deep pockets. And it is. It's showtime. It's what LA is all about. It's the entertainment. You said it, Alicia. Not only you got to win, but you got to be entertaining too.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, we've got two teams in so many sports. We have so many choices. We've got the ocean. We've got the trails. We've got Hollywood. We've got everything. We're so spoiled. Again, shameless homer. I don't deny it. But you have to appreciate what the Rams have done in elevating the experience. Y'all remember Jerry World, right? Like, we're not Cowboy fans, but my dad was like, I want to see the stadium. So, we had to take him to see the stadium. Oh, yeah. So, I'm grateful that that happened. And it's unfortunate with everything that went down during the pandemic and the lockdown that SoFi couldn't open up on schedule, didn't have the concerts, because it is an architectural, it is a piece of art. SoFi is so gorgeous. And it just takes, it's like, wow. And it is an experience. And they did well. So congrats to Inglewood. And it's just moving forward. They're not done yet.
Except for one thing.
I know what you're going to say.
I know what you're going to say.
Know what you're going to say. I'm going to say. What is it? Go ahead and say it, Rodney.
The food.
The food is horrible. It's horrible. I'm serious, man. It's terrible. It was a teeny bit better. But man, I'm gonna tell you, I went to Jerry World.
Have you heard anybody that's gone there to the game that come out of there and go, oh, it's great, but the food, everyone says the food.
Everybody says the food.
Oh, yeah. They post pictures of it, just doesn't, it's not appealing. That's why you got to tailgate beforehand. Come to our tailgates. We got tacos, we got pizza, we got everything. We are making pizza outside. Shout out to Razo Dog with Golden Boy Productions. He hooks it up. He's got a pizza maker while we're tailgating. He's got carne asada tacos.
All right, Alisa, I'm gonna be out of town for this next game. But when the next home game, I'm gonna be out of town for the Cardinals game. I'm gonna come. So remind me. I will come to the game.
Okay, you heard him, Rodney.
I'm tired of leaving the stadium hungry.
Even if you're like, I gotta eat something, but you're like, oh. You know when you eat something, you know you're gonna feel it for the next 5 hours. You're like, oh, I don't want. Oh man.
Yeah. I mean, Rodney, you've been to Cowboy Stadium, haven't you? Man, yeah. I gotta say, that food is phenomenal. And when you go into the couple of $1 million suites.
Yes, they got
that food outside there. Man, I'm like, wow. I mean, I don't even want to watch the game. I just want to see the barbecue, the lobster, chef
going on,
crab. Yeah. Man, I mean, it's fabulous. But over here,
they got Dallas, work on that.
And Dallas is in Dallas. We're closer to the ocean.
I ate some sushi in one of the suites, and I spit it out. I'm like, ugh, this is hard.
Oh, dang.
All right, this is the Best Damn NFL Pod Period. Our guest host, Alisa Del Valle, LA woman, Emmy nominated radio TV personality. Alisa, this was great. We're going to do this again. This is great.
Love having the
woman voice, the Latina voice, LA woman voice. It's been great.
Thank you, guys. You stay safe. Go Rams.
Thanks, Alisa. Okay.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.